Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here on this first Sunday in Lent, and thank you for being here. And thankful the weather's cooperating a little bit for us. I talked with Jim Teggy this morning here on the front, and he wanted to know, you can talk to Jim after the service. If anyone thought that we should not have canceled, say, Ash Wednesday service, you can talk to him about it. I hope everyone got the message from WPXI or phone call or email that we were not having service, and last Sunday also. And Session is one who's making the decision. And I want you to know, when a decision like that is made, it's not just whether a couple of people can make it out. Some of us can make it out with four-wheel drives and different things. But the decision is tried to be made on those who might would try to come out, and because they feel obligated, and then maybe fall and slip on ice or get in a wreck coming here or going home. So it's a really tough call to cancel church, but if you've got anything to say about it, see Jim, he would like to know. I want to thank everyone for your cards, your prayers, emails, Facebooks, everything, the loss of my pet Xenon. Those of you who have pets and love them know that they're not just something in the house that you feed and put in a corner. Xenon was kind of like my son, and we did everything together. Walks on trails, and he got me out, and walking and busy, and especially from some of the things that happened in my life. He was there to comfort me and love me and give me someone to comfort and love. So I thank you for your concern. To let you know, in the morning I'm going in for some dental surgery, so I'll probably be kind of out of it Monday. So if you got something you need to talk to me about, if you wait to Tuesday, you'd probably get me without being on drugs. Well, that may be fun for you. I don't know. You make the call. I'm just going to point out a couple of announcements in the bulletin. Today is communion service. We would have had it Wednesday night. We're having it today instead. And you know to hold your elements until we're all served. Please sign those communion cards, and any loose change will go for the work of the session, or loose cash, whatever goes for the work of the session. And per capita, that's for each person that is a member of the church. We try to get people to pay that over and above their tithes and offerings if they're able, because we do pay the total amount, which is over $3,000, into General Assembly, Synod, and our local presbytery. The local presbytery gets most of it. And Session is meeting today off the church. We're going to try to have that a quick meeting. I'll let you read the rest of the announcements yourself. I'll do the call for worship in a moment. I invite Arlie up, moved on me, for a minute for mission.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What does Glenshaw Valley mean to you? You can just think that in your mind. If we walked out into the community and we stopped at Giant Eagle, or we went knocked on doors of people who live around here, and said, what does Glenshaw Valley mean to you? What would those people say, and how would they answer? You might know the answers to that. You might not. Session has decided that we would like to know the answers to those questions, and we would like to find out what Glenshaw Valley can be to its membership and to its community. So we'd like to be more vibrant. Doesn't mean that we will grow. Hopefully we might grow a little, but we've always been the smallest game in town, and we've been okay with that. But we want to be more vibrant. We want to bring something and mean something and be something and know what we stand for and have other people know what we stand for as well. So Session came to that all by themselves. That was the easy part. What we didn't know how to do was how to get there and how to find those answers. So at our last meeting, we met with Doug Ports, who is an employee of Presbytery and who is he the leader of the North Branch? He's the leader of the North Branch of Presbytery, so he's familiar with the churches in the area, and he has put together a sort of exercise that he has used with a number of other churches in the area to help them self-discover. And Session has agreed to sign on to this project and to work with Doug, who will be here to hold our hands and step us through this so that we are not in it alone. He will also hold our feet to the fire so that we don't back out halfway through and say, well, we're in way over our heads, let's stop this. It's about an 8-month project, and we are really, as a Session, very much behind it and very much committed to it. And so committed that Doug will be here next Sunday to preach from the pulpit. I don't think he's actually preaching about the actual process, but he will speak about it, answer some questions about it, and will be here after church to meet people and to answer questions about the process. So we are encouraging everyone to, first of all, please be here, but please reach out to anybody that you think should be here next Sunday. Make a phone call to somebody who's not here. Call and see if somebody might need a ride and you could pick them up and bring them. See that somebody who's not on the email list gets a phone call to know about this. This is a really, really big deal for Glenshaw Valley. I think it's maybe the first time we've ever done something like this. And we really want the congregation to, number one, understand the process and know what it is that we're doing, but also to be involved in the process. And the best way to do that is to be here from the beginning and to hear what Doug has to say. So we really look forward to seeing a full house next Sunday. And if you have any questions, you can talk to anybody on Session, or you can be here, as I said, next Sunday and speak to Doug. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. I just want to add this real quickly. Doug is not just, he's the pastor, assistant pastor of Presbytery, but he's not just a Presbytery employee. Doug has pastored several churches. He lives in the area in Hampton, and his last church was Hampton Presbyterian. So he's a local guy. He's one of us and someone who cares very much. So I look very forward to him being here. I will be here doing all the rest of the service part, and he, as she said, will preach and then answer questions. So I really hope that you can come out. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise 231, Jesus Shall Reign. worship continue with a prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for transforming our lives. We worship you because you care for us. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Forgive us when we do not live as disciples of Jesus. Help us to walk in the light of your word. Show us how we can love you and our neighbor. Give us the desire to live a righteous life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
This morning as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
We
Thank you. Our responsive reading, Psalm 33 on 699. Psalm 33, 699. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy.
For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their storied hosts by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nation. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations.
We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
I'll call the elder on the door for prayer and praise requests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, first one is from Mary Slover. This is for a friend of hers, Renee Rainier. And so prayer request. She has a rare stomach cancer. She's the mother of two children, 5 and 12. And the treatment is unknown at this time, so we pray for her. A praise request from Kathy Sagi for all the cards and the prayers and visits. And her comment is that thank you for the prayers. Without them, the doctors may have not come up with a true reason for my illness. The good Lord does have a reason for everything. So.
Let's go to the Lord with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy, calling us to a sense of righteousness and into salvation and eternal life. We are blessed to have you in our lives. Help us this day to really, truly love you and appreciate you. And also help us to love our neighbors. It can be difficult at times, we understand. But help us to have a loving attitude, to pray for our enemies, those who may have hurt us deeply in many different ways. Help us to find the love of God in our lives and to show it forth with our actions, our words, our deeds. We lift everyone up today that has been mentioned. We thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them according to your love and wisdom. In your sense of care for each of us. Lord, thank you for Jesus, for coming into the world and into our lives, for being willing to go to the cross, even though it was a very difficult thing for him to do, and to suffer and to die, that we might have salvation and eternal life. Help us to learn a true appreciation for that. And we ask that you prepare our hearts and our minds for Doug to be here, this opportunity that we have to learn more about ourselves and our community and outreach. Guide us, lead us in every way. And we thank you the prayer that you gave to your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, a screen song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that help your church and help us. Thank you. We, as a congregation here at Glenshaw Valley, thank you for pouring out your gifts upon us and giving us the privilege, the opportunity to use them. Lord, bless each person here this day for all that they do for your kingdom. In the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Patty will come forth and would you read the scripture?
I am.
Oh, you are. Okay. Sorry. Here it is. I'll be right back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture today is from Mark 9:2-9, the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is a reading of God's Word.
I guess I should have chosen a longer passage of Scripture or a slower reader. Did you know that the Greek word, which the New Testament is written in, word translated as transfiguration, is the word we get metamorphosis. A dictionary defines metamorphosis as a transformation, a complete change of appearance and form. The best example we have of metamorphosis, as we have known since children, is the caterpillar turning into the beautiful butterfly. And that process has thrilled people throughout the ages, because butterflies are not only beautiful, but they're fascinating. Because of the striking beauty, butterflies are often seen in works of art. Due to the mysterious process by which they change from caterpillars to butterflies, they're often seen as a symbol of new life. I think it's interesting that the term indicating the transformation of Jesus should be so close to the term describing the metamorphosis of a butterfly. This can help us appreciate how dramatic the change in Jesus' appearance was on that mountain when he was with his 3 closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. I'm not saying now that Christ's transformation was anything like the metamorphosis of a butterfly. He certainly didn't sprout wings and fly off the mountain like Superman or a butterfly. But something happened that day, something that his disciples would never, ever forget. One day Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up upon a high mountain. Suddenly and quite dramatically, that mountain where Jesus was transfigured right in front of them. Suddenly his clothes became dazzling white and whiter than any bleach or any product in the world could make them. Now in Luke's gospel, the word used to describe Jesus' dazzling appearance is the same word that is used to describe lightning. If we can visualize in our minds, we will experience, I think, a sense of awe. It reminds me of a similar scene in the Old Testament in Exodus 34. Do you remember that day when God gave Moses the 10 Commandments? Moses came down the mountain having been in the presence of God, and quite mysteriously his face shone so much, reflecting the glory of God so brightly that he had to wear a veil. The people were literally afraid to even look upon Moses. Peter, James, and John were on that mountain with Jesus. His clothes changed, became dazzling white, and not only did the disciples see Jesus transfigured, but they also saw 2 of the Old Testament's premier figures, Elijah and Moses, with him. Elijah and Moses were actually talking with Jesus. This was more than the disciples could process. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi,
or teacher, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. Mark tells us Peter did not know what to say. They were just so frightened, so he just kind of thought that and spurted it out. And that is so Simon Peter. He never missed an opportunity to open his mouth and plant his foot firmly in it. Maybe if this happened today, Peter would have asked Jesus if he could post pictures of the event on Facebook or Instagram it. I can hear him now, "Master, is it all right if we take a selfie together?" Peter had no idea, no clue what he was saying. But that's all right. It's an event beyond his understanding. And then, as if things had not gotten mysterious enough, a cloud appeared, and a voice came out of that cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." I don't know about you, but if I heard a voice coming out of a cloud, I think I would have just taken off running. But the three disciples were probably already in a state of shock. Jesus transfigured, Moses and Elijah showing up, now a voice from a cloud. It was more than they could possibly assimilate, take in, and comprehend. Then suddenly, Mark tells us, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And that's significant. Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets, the Old Testament. After God announces that Jesus is his son, Moses and Elijah disappear, and Jesus remains. The law and the prophets have served their time and pass away. But Jesus, who is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets, remains in the law of the New Testament and grace, I should say. What happened on that mountain was a visual representation of what Jesus says in Matthew 5:17. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The law and the prophets had served their purpose, but now is the time of the Messiah, the Anointed One. This incident also draws our attention to the Old and New Covenants, or the Old and New Testaments. A new era is on the horizon. A new dawn is about to break. The old covenant represented by Moses and Elijah is passing away, and the new covenant is coming through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The new covenant is one that Jeremiah the prophet spoke of. He said, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." What a magnificent event, the transfiguration. Only Peter, James, and John were privy to it. The other disciples didn't get to see it. We don't know why this honor was accorded only to them. Maybe the answer is found in the last verse of Mark's account. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And it could be very well that if other disciples had been there, they would not have been able to keep a secret. The impact of this event was so enormous that surely one of them would have gone home to his wife and said, "Honey, I got something to tell you. This has been the greatest day of my life. Now, I'm not supposed to tell anyone about this, but I'll burst if I don't tell someone, if I don't tell you. But if I tell you, you cannot tell anyone else." And his wife says, "Okay," and he tells the story. The next morning, she gets up and she's on her phone calling her best friend. "Listen, I'm not supposed to tell you this. This is a secret." You know how it goes. The salvation story had not run its course. It was essential that some things not yet be revealed. So only Christ's three closest disciples beheld his glory on the mountain that day. But they were sworn to secrecy until after Christ's death and resurrection. This was certainly an astounding occasion. The disciples were confronted with Christ in a new and exalted way, but the most important part of the scene was at the end when the voice came from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." The voice came from the cloud was for us as much as it was for Peter, James, and John. "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." Listen to him when he says what is critical in life. You already know love for God and love for neighbor. Everything else in life is secondary importance to those two commandments. We love our neighbor because we love our God. What does love look like? Young girl Hope Stout, when she was 12 years old, was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer. This happens way more than it should. Hope came to the attention of that wonderful organization, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And you know about the organization. It works to provide joy to children with terminal illness and now even for adults. And the Make-A-Wish Foundation contacted 12-year-old Hope about fulfilling one of her wishes. And in a moment of pure selflessness that is simply awe-inspiring, a 12-year-old girl wished for just one thing: that every kid on the Make-A-Wish Foundation would get their wish granted before she did. Inspired by Hope's example, organizers at Make-A-Wish Foundation just kicked into overdrive, raising funds and gathering volunteers to fulfill the wishes of 155 children who were on the list before her. They almost raised enough money to grant every child's wish when in January 2004, Hope passed away. But her example still inspires the organization today, and they're working to see that every child gets their wish fulfilled as soon as possible. Now, why did she do it? A 12-year-old girl. This little girl could have asked for almost anything in the world. Why did she give it all up for the sake of others? And Hope's selflessness, extravagant, loving decision, we catch a glimpse of God's ultimate plan for humanity. Love God, love your neighbor. Listen to Jesus when he says that this is what is critical in life. On the last day, this is how you will be judged, not on the basis of how much wealth you've accumulated, not on the basis of how many marathons you've run, or not on the basis of how many degrees you have attained in your life. The only question we're really going to be asked is how well we love. Did we accept Jesus? Did we love God with all our heart? And did we love our neighbors as ourselves? Listen to him when he explains who our neighbor is. Not just the people in our family, not just those in our neighborhood that we get along with, not just the people who look like us or think like us, but everyone on this planet is our neighbor. In a sermon on YouTube, Pastor Gary Miller draws our attention to a book and the subsequent movie, and three different ones out now. But in the first one, it's called The Hunger Games. If you read a book, read the book or seen the movie, you know the plot revolves around a horrible, horrible contest between young representatives of the 12 futuristic districts. The winner of The Hunger Games is the last one standing as the contestants are forced to kill each other so that they can stay alive. When authorities come to choose the contestants, one boy and one girl from District 12 for the 74th Annual Hunger Games, the name of Primrose, or Prim, is drawn. She's plucked from a large bowl that everyone can look and see that this is happening, containing all the children's names. As the authorities lead Primrose away, her older sister, Katniss, suddenly intervenes and shouts, "No!" And she shouts Prim's name. The guards stop Katniss from approaching Kim or Prim, but Katniss shouts, "No, I volunteer. I volunteer. I volunteer as a tribute." So Katniss becomes a representative for District 12, taking her sister's place. Katniss provides a moving example of courage, sacrificial love. After all, she voluntarily substitutes herself for another human being. But it's also understandable substitution. This is her family member, her sister. She does it for her little sister. It's admirable, says Gary Miller, but it's the kind of thing we hope we'll all do for our younger sisters, our siblings, or for our spouses, family members. But Jesus' substitution does not work like that. Whose place does Jesus, the Messiah, take? He takes the place of people like the cowardly disciples who deny him, the scheming religious leaders who are only out for themselves, spineless politicians. He takes the place of people like Barabbas and the criminals hanging beside him on the cross. People are the reason that Jesus has to drink the cup of God's wrath. And we're the reason. You and I are the reason that Jesus died upon that cross. But not just us. It's clear from his teachings that he died for the whole world. Everyone is our neighbor. Even our enemies are our neighbors. No one will be shut out if they accept Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to him and he tells us what is critical in this life. Love for God. Love for neighbor. Listen to him as he defines who our neighbor is. And finally, listen to his promise to us. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. This is to say that Jesus' transfiguration prefigures what we shall someday be if we give our lives to him. We will be transformed from, if you will, lowly caterpillars into beautiful butterflies. As someone has said, nature forms us. Sin deforms us. The penitentiary reforms us. Education informs us. The world conforms us. But only Jesus transforms us. Listen to Jesus. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He's talking about you and me. Whoever you are or whatever you've done, transformation is possible in your life. So quit living like a caterpillar. Start living like the butterfly that you're meant to be. We're not called to remain in the state of sin that God has found us in, but to feed on his word, to grow spiritually in our lives. So let's transform today. If we've not really begun that process, allow him to transform our minds, our soul, our heart, our spirits. May God bless you. Amen.
Let's bow in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege, the opportunity to receive communion today. May it touch us. May it mend us. May it help to transform us into the people that you have called us to be. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins. We have our salvation, those that accepted you, but we still have not been transformed as we should, and we continue to sin. At times in open rebellion, at times in sins of omission. Help us to grow through your word, through gathering together as the church here at Glenshaw Valley. Lead us and guide us, and thank you for your forgiveness. In the name of Christ our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You have seen me, and you have seen the Father. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Let us in unity and reverence remember the sacrifice of our Lord. On the same day that Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, this is my blood which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of the many. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Paul wrote, you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and you shall be saved. Once again, with reverence and unity, let us remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Our hymn of response, In the Cross of Christ, I Glory, 184.
To hear Doug Port, so to make a special try and tell other persons to such an important thing, I believe, that is happening in the life of our church. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you feel transformed. If you don't feel that fullness, that you at least feel that the process is working on you, and you are being transformed out of our sins into a sense of righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you go from here, go with that knowledge and proclaim it to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.